Like, I know I'm about to win, Cole. Cole's playing checkers. I'm playing chess. And, like, he's like, it looks like I'm losing right now. It looks like, you know, he's bought into this false doctrine. He's making heretic videos. But watch, I'm about to, like, light this boy up. He's about to fall out in the Holy Ghost. I'm about to have him travel in the world, documenting the move of my spirit. Like, I'm about to have him podcasting and preaching the truth. Like, I'm about to light him up with his identity and me. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, cessationism, I'm getting emotional right now. Like, cessationism is a part of his story, but what the enemy meant for evil, I'm about to, like, literally whip the devil with.
What's up, guys? This week's episode is going to be a clip, or a little snippet from Kenan Clark's No Counterfeit podcast. We did an hour-long interview last week, hour and 10-minute interview last week, and he let me take a 10 to 15 minute clip to put it for this week's episode of the Kenan Vision podcast. So if you want to see the full podcast, go check out Kenan Clark's YouTube channel, No Counterfeit Podcast. But I hope this episode encourages you, and God bless.
Good religion and bad religion. Because, like, I think the pendulum has swung to where we're like, all religion's bad. That's not true at all. Like, I'm coming to terms with the fact that I'm actually a pretty religious guy. Like, if you were to follow me around, people like, Kenan's religious. It's like, I am. I'm just not religious in the dead works. Like, my religion is not trying to make God happy. I'm not about that religion. That's not a religion I prescribe to. My religion is, because God has made his way to me, now it is my religious duty to help, to make my way to other people so that God can make his way to them as well.
Yeah.
Like, I am here to leverage my story, right? Like Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The only reason my testimony is relevant is because my testimony is an opportunity to talk about his blood.
Yeah.
And so I am, so like this whole idea of, like, honestly, the more you're and I want to be careful because somebody could twist my words, but when your religion is solely based on, I just want to make God proud, I want to make him happy, I want to please him, I want to please the Lord, and I want to make the Lord happy and all those things. But when you don't have an understanding that he is already pleased, and the more satisfied in him you are, like genuinely satisfied in him, with a life of good works. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 says, it is by grace through faith that you are saved, not of your works, lest anyone should boast. But then it goes on to say in verses 10 and 11 that God saved you for good works.
Yes.
So he saved you from dead, old sin, dead deeds, all that. He saved you from all that, but then he saved you for, like, that's all the counterfeit,
yeah,
right? Now you get to be introduced to the real thing. Now the works that you do for God, they're not, you're not doing it for his love, you're doing it from his love. And I know this stuff has all been, like, preached across,
dude,
all platforms, but, like, it's something I think we, like, can't afford to get away from.
Dude, the reason I asked you this is because, obviously, this podcast started off about me being a cessationist.
And I want to continue that story.
But the reason I asked you about that is because, for some reason, the door to truly know my Heavenly Father was the door of, like, I need to know about signs and wonders.
Wow.
But when I passed through that door, this is what I was left with: the raw grace of God and what you're talking about. I was literally, like, didn't know how to be alone with God. I struggled with knowing if God genuinely loved me.
Yeah.
I'm out here talking about cessationists, you know, signs and wonders, do they exist, do they don't? And I'm struggling to know I know Jesus died for people, but did he die
yeah,
for me?
Yeah, for you.
And I think a lot of people actually struggle with that. And
oh, 100%.
And I know for a fact, because I have conversations all the time, we're focused on all these secondary issues, you would call them. I think cessationist probably is, like, a bigger issue than that. But it's like the cry of their heart is they actually want to know their Heavenly Father deeper.
Right.
But we're so stuck on this. We're like the Pharisees, bro. We're focused on here, and Jesus is trying to get your heart, and you're focused on signs and wonders. But if you just get to know your Heavenly Father, he will answer that question, bro.
100%.
And it's like, so when it comes to the grace of God and it comes to the love of God, I feel like once I started to believe, like, and actually stopped being cessationist, I actually started to learn what grace was. And bro, dare I say, I think the No Counterfeit podcast you preach truth on here more than anyone I know.
Well, thank you.
But bro, it shocks me and it scares me how many Christians in churches, if they were to have to describe grace and how radical it is, they couldn't do it.
They can't do it, yeah.
What you're talking about, we just said dead works.
Mm-hmm.
The epitome of the gospel is Romans 5:9. Christ died for me while I was a sinner.
Mm.
The definition of grace is this undeserved love and favor. And even in the Greek, I was looking up, there's this app, it's the Strong's app.
Yep.
And it says part of that word is pleasure. God finds pleasure in you.
Wow.
It's
true.
I asked the people who clicked on this podcast because of cessationism, when's the last time you read your Bible and thought God finds satisfaction in me?
Right. So
it's like, it seems like it's not a part of the same, like these are two different topics, but I'm telling you they are. It's like, if you know God loves you, of course you would believe God works miracles. It's like, they're one in the same. It's the same argument. This is not a topical issue. This is a Jesus issue.
100%.
And so the epitome of the gospel, I believe a lot of people, you know, Galatians 3:1, who has confused you? Who has bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians.
Yes. Right?
That would be like to say, who has confused you? Oh, Kenan, just fill in your name.
Yeah.
You who started by the Spirit.
Yep.
Are you now being perfected by the flesh? And even the next verse says, he who works miracles among you.
Yep.
Is he working a miracles among you because you are keeping the law or because you have faith?
Yep.
So many Christians, bro, so many Christians have this belief that if I read my Bible every morning, God would be more pleased with me than if I didn't do it.
And that's the problem is like, I believe, again, as you're saying, the Lord finds pleasure in us. I believe we can move God. We can move the heart
move
of God.
His heart.
But I think God, we have the ability to move God's heart in a greater sense when it comes to satisfying, mm-hmm. when it comes to the pleasure he finds in being with us. I don't know that like we think, I don't know that we grieve his heart the way we think we do. Now, I do think the heart of the Lord can be grieved. I've talked about this on a past podcast.
I agree with
you. I do think we can grieve his heart, but I don't think it's an equal measure. I don't think to the equal measure that you can bring him pleasure, you can bring him grief. I just don't. I think we have the ability to bring him infinitely more pleasure than we do grief, because you have to understand, grief is there because you don't know the totality of the story. God knows the whole story. So even though in a moment, like it's like him in, what is it? John 11, when Lazarus dies, the shortest verse in the Bible happens. And Jesus wept. He wept even though he knew he's about to resurrect Lazarus. So there is this place where God can be grieved even though God knows what he's about to do. But the thing is this, is that God does not stay in this perpetual state of grief. God doesn't go to a deep place of grief.
Kenan won't repent. He just.
No, he knows, like, my goodness is going to draw him.
Yeah.
God, whenever you were a cessationist, was not stuck to that timeline that you were on. He's like, I know I'm about to win, Cole. Watch. Cole's playing checkers. I'm playing chess. And like, he's like, that looks like I'm losing right now. It looks like, you know, he's bought into this false doctrine. He's making heretic videos, but watch, I'm about to like light this boy up. He's about to fall out in the Holy Ghost. I'm about to have him travel in the world, documenting the move of my spirit. Like, I'm about to have him podcasting and preaching the truth. Like, I'm about to light him up with his identity and me. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, cessationism. I'm getting emotional right now. Like, cessationism is a part of his story, but what the enemy meant for evil, I'm about to like literally whip the devil with. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, bro.
And almost there's like, I can sense the pleasure of the Lord even in knowing how he's about to turn grief into pleasure, about how he's about to like take false doctrine and twist and fix it and make you an even louder voice for the truth. You know what I mean?
And I have to give a lot of credit to a man. Number one, Kenan, you played a huge role in my life too. Number one, because I was coming here to Celebration when you were preaching here before you moved to Nashville. And the first encounter I had with the Holy Spirit, the first miracle I saw, the first everything happened here at this church with you.
Praise God.
And so coming from a trusted person coming from a dude I know contending for truth. And I'm like, okay, my heart was already open to more stuff. But then another man I want to highlight is Pastor William Hinn.
Yeah, for sure.
William Hinn, because of his last name, gets a lot of hate, and I got the chance to travel with him. And
yeah, for sure.
Man, he showed me what it meant to be alone with your father.
Yeah.
He told me, like, the relationship to what my relationship I have with Jesus is a bride to bridegroom relationship now.
Right. Yes.
I don't have to walk around scared of God if I'm bought back by the blood of Jesus. People talk about, I believe the fear of the Lord has a place in our life as believers, but it must be in, like, present also with the fact that I'm like a bride of Christ. If women are sons, then I'm bride. You know what I'm saying? That's what they say.
Right.
And so, like, I just wanted to highlight, and the biggest thing I learned from William is he would tell me things like, dude, go on a date with God. Like, go spend 8 hours today with God.
And wow.
I did not know how to be alone with God. I would fidget in the presence of God because I was so needed to be stimulated. I only know how to pray to God about my circumstances, my prayer list, what I'm struggling with. I don't know how to just delight in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he would tell things like, go on a date with God. I'm like, yo, that's weird, first off.
At first it is strange.
It is strange, but then second off, I get what you're saying. You're like,
yes.
Spend time with your Heavenly Father.
Very intentional.
Very intentional time. And in that place, I learned the love that the Father had for me. I even got a prophetic word that's crazy, timely with all this, that someone told me that the Heavenly Father is actually wrapping his arms around you, and he's the one crying because of how much he loves you.
Wow.
And it's like,
that's
the
strong.
Reason, like, my heart that I'm saying this right now is, my fear is, it's not even a fear because I know it to be true because I have conversations. No one thinks about these things, Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
We go to church and we just, like, we want our lives to be better. And the thing about what you just said about Lazarus in John 11, that Jesus wept, that shows me that God cares about our circumstances.
Yes.
God cares about the things, because Jesus wept knowing he was about to resurrect Lazarus.
Yes.
But, like, are we ever going to graduate to a point of, like, actually having relationship?
100%.
Or are we just going to keep Jesus at arm's length and pray to him when we need him?
Right.
But never have deep, meaningful, raw, real relationship with them.
100%.
And the only way you can get there, and I think about freedom from sin, bro. Bro, the most simplest form is, if we're saved by grace, not of works.
Yes.
We have died to the law. The law is a system of do's and don'ts.
Right.
A holy checklist. If you do this, you're righteous, and if you don't do this, you're not.
Right.
Romans 6-8, if y'all read it, will change your life. Literally. Let's talk about sin for a minute. Romans 7, if you are experiencing cyclish natures to your sin.
Right. Cyclical.
If you do not do what you know you should and you keep doing the very thing you hate, bro, it means that you, in the most simplest form, you just don't know how much you're loved by God. 90% of the problems we have in this life are answered. That's what I'm saying. Cessationist, sin struggles, circumstantial problems, all these problems are answered. And you must know how much you're loved and treasured and affirmed by God.
100%.
And I think Romans 7 describes that perfectly, particularly
Absolutely.
Around the area of sin. Even, bro, like, talking about Romans 7, 5 says that sin is aroused by the law.
It's true. Yes.
If you focus on behavior, it actually arouses sin and you more.
Uh-huh.
Romans 7:16, for if you do not do what you know you should, you agree with the law that it is good.
Right.
All that means is, last time I checked, we don't agree with the law. We agree with grace.
Right.
If we agree with grace, the grace is that we have received, Romans 5:9, Christ died for me while I was a sinner. All of Christ's love has been poured upon me.
Right.
Before I ever even prayed to him, before I ever even, or at the first prayer when I received it, when I said, Lord, I believe in you.
Right.
I've received all your love.
Right.
And Romans 7 talks about this cyclist nature. Everything cyclist in us is because we are adulterers with grace.
Yeah.
Romans 7:1-4 says that, bro. Romans 7:1-4 says, what is a woman who lives with another man while she's married?
Yeah.
An adulteress. likewise, you have died to the law so that you can be married to another. You can be under a new covenant, which is grace.
Come on.
Right? So that means we have died to the law. We have died to the covenant of the law. Meanings we don't receive righteousness by doing good things, by reading our Bible, by like all these things are good, right? But there's this list of all the holy things you can think of. If you do them, a lot of people think if they do them, then they're righteous.
Right.
But actually, God ripped that up. He ripped up the holy checklist and said, you never could do it because in reality, we tried our hardest, but we never could actually, we could never achieve it.
Right.
He ripped it up and said, you couldn't do it. I'm going to make you righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of anything you're doing, because I'm freely giving it to you.
100%.
And that's what you talked about in your sermon yesterday that I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Bro. I'm like, bro, this is truth because, and that's where what I was saying earlier, Galatians 3 comes into play because so many believers, they start that way.
Right.
When you come to faith, day one, you're like, I just came out of pornography. I just came out of drug abuse. You're like, oh, wretched man that I am. Like,
right.
I know that I was only saved by grace. Mm-hmm. But then 3 years in, you start to grow. You're like,
yeah, you feel like you've brought something to the table.
You start to think, man, I didn't read my Bible today. I think I let God down.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Why you start to become an adulterer with grace. You start to cheat on grace with these dead works. And it's so subtle. It's so
right.
it just creeps in. And how you know it creeps in is when you have cyclist natures to doing things. Romans 7 literally says it's because you are agreeing with the law.
Right. And it really comes down to, it's less about the feeling and it's more about what is provoking that feeling. So like the same thing you just gave, the illustration you just gave of, hey, 2 years in, man, I didn't read my Bible today. Okay, well, if you then think reading my Bible is what makes me who I am, it's what makes me a good Christian, it's what makes me better than all them out there, then yeah, like that is dead works. But if you look at it this way, dang, I didn't read my Bible today. Lord, I didn't spend time with you today.
Yeah.
Lord, I like was distracted by this, that, the other. I was distracted by building my own kingdom and not leaning into your. It's the same thing, but fueled by a different place. Like this one's fueled by grace, whereas the other one, the first one, is fueled by dead religion, right?